It's the Matt Bubala Show, Radio 720, WGN. From a story Shantae gave me. Thrashing out the details of their new marriage contract with online relationship coach Susie Johnson, the wealthy couple who have been wed for 12 years leave their hour-long Skype session feeling satisfied. The husband agrees they can have a fifth child, while the wife consents to an infidelity clause allowing him to cheat with other women on a strictly annual basis. They agree to a weekend amnesty where the guy can do what he wants for just one weekend a year, recalls Johnson, who runs the Dallas, Texas-based GoAskSusie.com. In return, she gets the bigger family she craved. According to Johnson, such arrangements are increasingly common as a growing number of women agree to, quote, widen their monogamy boundaries, unquote, and embrace a marriage of convenience where it's just the husband who strays rather than an open marriage where both sides get to cheat. Joining us on the phone right now is that very Susie Johnson. Good morning, Susie. How are you?
Great, Matt. How are you doing?
I'm good, but I don't get this is not the world I live in, Susie. I don't understand what's going on here. Why in the world would women say, okay, that's good for you, that's fine? I just don't understand what the reasoning would be. I mean, is your marriage that strong if to get a fifth child, the guy's saying, fine, I'll have a fifth child, but you got to let me stray?
Okay, so Matt, there was a couple of pieces missing from the story.
Okay.
That might add some context. First of all, I deal with infidelity recovery.
Okay.
So this couple had already, this man had already had an indiscretion.
Okay.
And it was a couple of years ago. So it was something they had already been in the recovery process. And so that's something that's really important for people to understand. These are not couples that are just wandering around bored. These are couples that have been through something devastating and are asking the question, what can we do to prevent this and not have this happen again? So not only was this really an agreement, it was also kind of an amendment as well to a previous indiscretion.
Well, that's interesting. It says also in this article that this is becoming increasingly common, women, quote, widening their monogamy boundaries. You would say then that's in when they're going to counseling after this has happened. How do we figure out how to move on from this?
That would be my perspective, because the couples that I work with, I'm exclusive to this particular situation. So the couples that I'm seeing, this is as a result of having gone through something as devastating as this. And they're saying to themselves, okay, divorce is not an option for us. So if we take divorce off the table, what else are we looking at?
It seems oddly, though, Susie, like the guys, I mean, I don't know. I guess that's no way to go along with marriage. How are we going to punish what you just did? Mm-hmm. But that they cheated, got caught, whatever, and now, okay, well, let's talk about this. All right, well, let's do this. You get to cheat once a year. The guy's going to be like, this is a trick, right? I'm sure it takes them a while to agree to that, because they're like, as soon as I say yes to this, you're going to say, you can't agree to that. Why would you say that? Or something, you know, it seems like a trapdoor is about to be pulled underneath them. Why would women say this makes sense? I mean, if you're going to allow him to cheat, how is it not written in? Because the way you stop men from agreeing, okay, that's great, I get to cheat, is to say, sure, you get to cheat, and so do I. Because then most guys would go, well, wait a minute.
And so you have to be clear, this is probably less than 5% of my couples that would even choose an option like this.
Okay.
And sometimes this is kind of, you get to that place where you're trying everything. You're trying everything. Like I said, divorce is not an option. You're taking that off the table.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about less than 4 to 5% of couples that would even choose it as an option. The other thing to remember, though, is she's getting something out of it as well. She's just not that this particular couple that's being quoted in the New York Post. For her, it wasn't cheating. That wasn't what she wanted. So this is a negotiation. It's not just a matter of he's getting what he wants, but she's also getting something that she considers to be of equal value.
But do you feel weird negotiating something like that, Susie, where it's okay, you can do that once a year, but we have another child added to our family. I mean, you know what? I was an accident, and I've known that for a long time, but I was never so much of an accident that I would someday, God forbid, find out, well, we had you because mom said I could cheat once a year as long as I agreed to a fifth child. I mean, that's a weird way to say we had our fifth child.
I'm not sure that will come up in conversation.
Hopefully not, I guess. You never know. You get to the holidays, people are drinking.
That's a good point. And I'll say this. I mean, I get what you're saying, because when you're on the outside of a situation, it's very easy to say, oh, that looks like this or that looks like that.
But yeah.
There's a lot of contributing things that are going on here, and it's not – they didn't arrive at this with sweetness and light. This came out of something else, and these two are dealing with a lot more than the average couple. They're also really – there's a lot at stake for them financially. There's just a bigger picture than you can just paint in an article. But it's a titillating outcome,
yeah,
to the least. And I will say, my couples that do start down this path, not every couple that ends up with trying to negotiate something like this does it work out for. For some couples, they start and realize this is not what they want. But as a coach, it's not my job to figure, to tell couples what. So I'm not on the what committee. I'm on the how committee. So they decide what, and then together we figure out the how.
This article, at least for the purposes of this article, was all about men. If men are cheating with women, then there's somebody else out there who's probably cheating, unless these men are all finding single women or prostitutes. Have you had to do the same situation with a woman who's straight? I mean, have you? I can't imagine the marriage where the guy's like, okay, honey, you can cheat once a year, but I get to play golf every Saturday then, or something like that.
See, now that would be of equal value, but I see what you're saying, and the answer to the question is no. So typically, this is going to be the female in this particular situation that will give that kind of allowance. Men will do what you started out the show saying. For example, I was working with a couple just yesterday, and his wife has strayed twice. And my question to him is, what do you need to recommit to this marriage? What do you have to see? What do we have to do? And he said, well, we would have to even the score. So for him, the answer, the thing that would allow him to recommit to the marriage again is for him to be able to stray twice. And I have to tell you that, in my experience, doesn't work.
I was going to ask you, is there any chance that that's going to work out? Well, what about in your experience with these other things where she's getting the fifth child and he can cheat once a year? Is she really going to say, okay, that's fine, when women commit to, basically saying it's a marriage of convenience, maybe I love him, maybe we still are intimate, but I know he's like this and I'm just going to be okay with it as long as I don't know and he's being smart about it, et cetera, et cetera. How many marriages can that really work in where somebody's going to be able to handle that emotionally?
That's a great question, and not a lot, because we are by nature very territorial and possessive, and jealousy is an issue, and all of this. You open yourself to a lot of risk. Like I said, it's a small percentage of couples that would even consider something like this, but I don't have the statistics to back up what, for the couples that do go down this road, what their success looks like. But what we do know is if you follow the traditional approach to marriage, monogamy, you probably have about a 40% chance of infidelity. If you follow the traditional model to marriage, you have a 50% chance of divorce. So we have statistics for the other side, but we don't have statistics for this side.
So about 40% of marriages at some point have some sort of infidelity.
Yes.
And
that's what the statistics are saying.
Is the percentage much greater of men cheating versus women cheating?
That's a very paradoxical type question, because who are they cheating with?
Right.
So here's the deal. And I know for your male listeners, they might be like, oh, no. But the odds of being busted are far higher for the male.
Because the men aren't smart enough to catch the women?
I'll tell you, when a guy calls me up and says, I suspect my wife is cheating, 9 out of 10 times he's right, because by the time he's suspicious of it, something's probably going on.
Yeah. Because we pick up on things a little later. And what about when women are suspicious? There's a smaller percentage just because they're...
You know, there's a chance that that's not always the case, mm-hmm. You know, because the alarms are... Women's detection systems are way earlier. So, and what's really nice, not that it's nice, but what's really interesting as well is when they have that early intuition, sometimes it's very, very much about the beginning of it. So where the male might catch it, it's already in the later stages. Women can sometimes pick it up as early as when it's just in the flirting stage.
Mm. Mm-hmm. In the relationships you've worked with, can, as a general rule, do you believe that couples can overcome infidelity and an instance of infidelity?
Absolutely. And that's all I've done for the last 15 years is help couples to repair trust, rebuild, but perhaps most importantly, redefine how they want to move forward. Because by the time there's an infidelity, that's symptomatic. So the analogy I would use is imagine that you have a house with broken windows. Infidelity comes in through the broken window. Mm. So a lot of couples, what they'll do is they're aware of their broken windows, but nothing's happening, so they don't fix them. You know, they may patch it a little bit, but they really don't fix it. And the broken window is an analogy for something like someone's working too much, or we're not communicating, or we're not having sex. That's it. Those are broken windows. So the repair process is about identifying those broken windows, fixing them, and then talking about how do we handle this type of stuff in the future? How do we infidelity-proof? How do we temptation-proof? And 95% of my clients are going to do that with their monogamy intact. 5% are going to say, maybe monogamy itself needs to be addressed.
Interesting. And what percentage of of couples do overcome it and stick it out, would you say? I know you said a lot can, but is that something that a woman or a man can really get past? You know, even not just these couples that are working out this, this deal where you get to do it. I know that's a very tiny percentage, but it's a titillating headline, so that's why it's out there. But when this happens, 5 years down the road, is that still in the back of their mind all the time, or are couples truly able to get past and move on?
So the answer to the question is yes. So you asked it in two parts. So I'll take the first part. What percentage of couples? So statistics say that immediately upon being discovered, 1/3 of couples are going to divorce immediately. So what I'm dealing with are the other percentages that have decided, you know what, it's not, you know, we got to try. And the answer to the question of 5 years down the road, it's about forgiveness, which is probably the core of what I really work with. It's helping people to achieve true forgiveness. How do you truly allow the past to be over and move forward? And how do you bury the hatchet and not dig it back up? And so that's that's the risk you take when you roll the dice of infidelity. You take the risk as to whether or not this is something that you've introduced that your marriage can't recover from. For some people, and I will tell you that the difference maker, Matt, is two things. What's at stake and who are the stakeholders? So if there's a lot at stake, for example, if they have three or more children, if for them it's a religious thing and divorce is not an option, if they've got a family business, my celebrity client, if they've got a reputation, if they're in politics, if you see that there's a lot at stake, the motivation to truly forgive is higher.
Hmm. I would imagine one other thing that will be a telltale sign of whether they're going to make it or not is, does that person cheat again? Because I would think that maybe I can forgive this once. That was a one-time thing. Okay, I swear I'll never do this again. I'm sorry I made a mistake. Blah, blah, blah. But then 2 years later, they find out something more. And what is the percentage where that happens? I mean, once somebody cheats once, what's the likelihood that they're really going to feel so terrible and apologize and never do that again? Or is it very likely that at some point down the road, they'll do that again?
So there's the old cliche of once a cheater, always a cheater.
Right.
And I would honestly tell you that's perhaps the most damaging piece of information that floats around out there. That and the other one about Trump, that this once a cheater, because that's perhaps one of the biggest obstacles is people not realizing that you can have a one-off. You know, anyone can fall from temptation and fall from a pedestal and crash. You know, anybody can do that. It's distinguishing the pathological from the person that truly either got seduced or lured or just, you know, fell into this on a unconscious kind of way. That's the hard thing, is to pinpoint the difference between the two categories. And it's hard to tell on the front end, but there are signs. So there's a difference between a serial cheater and someone who got lured into temptation or fell off a pedestal.
Well,
and go ahead.
And is there a difference between a fling and an affair? And emotionally, is there a difference? My old friend John Williams, who's a host here, used to say, I'd rather find Brenda in bed with somebody than out to lunch with somebody. That then that's an emotional connection that's different than she had a need and you know, had a fling with somebody. He felt like I could understand and forgive that more than, oh my God, you're spending this quality time with this person. Mm-hmm. You're really involved with this person.
Yes. And kudos to him for that statement, because it really points to a deeper truth, especially in the female end of it. So that's, you know, an emotional affair can be far more damaging than a physical one, and especially for women, because for women, it's the emotional investment. Once they emotionally transfer from one male to the other, that's far harder to overcome.
So once a woman cheats in that way, that's tougher for them to come back, maybe to want to come back?
It is really challenging, and it puts them in a very, very difficult place, because they've got the children, perhaps. You know, and then there's the emotional transference that's happening. So for women, the stake and the price is higher, because it's very difficult for them to cross that line in the first place, just because of, you know, social and just the way we're raised. It's difficult. So whatever the thing that usually gets them to cross the line is some kind of heavy emotional investment, and that's the danger, I think. People underestimate the power of emotion. They really do. And so they think, oh, I can just, you know, grab a little piece of it here, but I won't get all this negative stuff. And affairs don't get to cherry pick, you know?
Susie Johnson is the co-founder of the Marriage Wellness Institute, as well as the facilitator of GoAskSusie.com. I understand that for our WGN radio listeners, you're willing to give them a link to a free 2-hour audio coaching program on overcoming infidelity. You need to go to GoAskSusie.com/WGN. GoAskSusie.com/WGN. Really fascinating conversation. The headline was misleading, everybody. You don't get to talk your wives into this. They're not going to go for it unless you're one of the 5% of the 50%. So it's a small little number. It's like getting drafted into the NBA. Most likely not going to happen for you. But you're probably better off in the end, right?
It is a very small number of people for whom that would even be a topic of discussion. And like I said, there was a lot of extenuating circumstances going on.
Sure.
What I would see, Matt, is most couples do as they're going through the repair process, they look at their marriage, they take a closer look, and they do make amendments and they do make tweaks. But it'll be things like, you know, twice a month we go on a date, or you know, you leave the kids with mom more.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be those types of agreements. It's not always going to be something as, you know, titillating as.
Well, and I would imagine you'd rather see clients make agreements where we're going to find whatever reason I strayed or would want to stray. Let's figure out how to overcome that so I'm not thinking that way or doing that. And let's get the kids at mom's house and get out more. Let's reconnect ourselves and make more time for us than these other things. I would think you'd almost rather see a marriage agreement where instead of saying I can cheat twice a year, he says, okay, we have to fool around 4 times a month. That's what we need to do. Sign on that dotted line. I'll give you your 5th child. Then I imagine you'd be a little more happy with that idea, right?
Well, you know, it's their lives. I'm not in it, you know, so they have to choose for themselves.
Sure.
But for the most part, you want to see, because the marriage, the affair is not going to be symptomatic of having given your partner too much attention.
Yeah.
It's going to be symptomatic, as I tell people, you know, just like a distracted driver is the most dangerous driver on the road. A distracted partner is most vulnerable to infidelity. So it's the workaholics that you're looking at, that, you know, you're just busy with all this different stuff and you just get distracted and you leave, that opens a broken window, that leaves a broken window in your relationship. And these are the things to pay attention to. And to just piggyback on what you said earlier about the telltale signs, one of the things that I look for in the couples that are going through the recovery process to kind of help them understand, you know, their probability of success. If I see a wayward partner who is remorseful, I don't mean guilty, but feeling very remorseful, truly sorry, but more importantly, asking me a question like, how did I get here? And how did this happen? How did I allow this? It tells me that he's wanting to use this to learn about himself and to become aware of where he's, you know, he can be seduced, what his temptation looks like. That guy, to me, has a much higher chance of not repeating his mistakes. But the guys that just are like, listen, just tell me what I need to do to get through this. You know, I apologize. Isn't that enough? Those I'm not so keen on.
Yeah. Go ask Suzy.com if you want the 2-hour free audio program. Go ask Suzy.com/WGN. Suzy, thank you so much for being on the show with us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Matt. I appreciate it as well.
Absolutely. You have a great morning. I hope we talk again.